Hi, I'm Reno.
And I'm Anders.
Welcome to How to Entrepreneur, a podcast program by Inch.
A show where we would like to take you on a fun journey about entrepreneurship. You'll hear inspiring stories with leaders and entrepreneurs across various industries and how they creatively overcome obstacles and challenges. Here we go.
Welcome to another episode of How to Entrepreneur. Today, we'll learn more about business development, what does it mean, and how to develop opportunities for your business. We have a very special guest today. She is the founder and CEO of EquiConnector and a dedicated horse owner. Welcome, Munna Shishland.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Perfect. I just wanted to quick start the conversation with a question I had from last time we talked, and I thought this was super funny how you kind of described your business. You said that EquiConnector is like a Airbnb for horses. Can you tell us a bit what you mean by that?
Airbnb for horses is like what we say to make people understand our business really quickly. So we have a sharing platform, much like Airbnb, for riding lessons and other activities with horses to make horses more available and to make it easier for people to actually find and book horses in a safe way, and also to make it less time consuming for the equestrian centers to spend time like marketing and bookings and so on. So yeah, And just like Airbnb, we don't own any horses, or, well, I do, but EquiConnector doesn't. We're just like the middleman that makes horses available through our platform, EquiBooker.
You're passionate around horses. How did that come about?
I have always loved animals, like any type of animal. So I was 5 years old the first time I rode a horse. The horse reared actually, and I fell off. So that is like one of my earliest memories, like me laying on the ground and I see the horse like rearing on top of me. And I guess I must have hit my head pretty hard, because after that I've just been obsessed with horses. So yeah, I've been riding almost every day since then.
And you said that you fell off a horse like the first time you rode it. And
yeah.
I did that as well, actually, when I was like, I think I was 10 or 11.
Yeah.
And I was just super, super nervous to ride that big, big animal. And then they made me feel comfortable. It was fun in the beginning, but then it started to go fast and I fell off, and I was just like, I'm never going to ride a horse again. And I never did, actually. But yeah, my fear is coming off, so maybe soon.
I guess it's kind of like the same thing as being an entrepreneur. Like, you need to get used to like, okay, you have setbacks, you get knocked down, you just need to get back up like immediately. So I think actually that's been a really valuable lesson for me as an entrepreneur. For example, I've always done like a lot of show jumping and eventing, and those are like really dangerous sports actually. And especially in the start, when I wasn't that used to like giving talks and doing presentations and so on, I would just have this picture in my mind that I was like on my horse galloping toward a big fence. And although I'm scared actually to jump the big fences, I do it anyways. And I know that if I'm hesitating, the horse will actually stop. And that is something that I've used quite a lot as an entrepreneur. That is, okay, this thing is like really scary, or this meeting could like go really wrong, but I have to do it anyways, and I have to do it with confidence, and if I don't, it won't work. So
yeah,
definitely taught me a lot.
What got you started this idea and then decided to pursue it further?
I had just moved to another city, and I was out walking on a Sunday, and it was this beautiful weather, and I walked past these stables and I saw a lot of horses out there, but no people. And I just really, really wanted to ride. And of course, I've ridden my whole life and have a lot of experience with different type of horses. And at the same time, like being a horse owner for, like, I had my first own horse when I was 10. I know that, like, especially maybe early on Sundays, like there's family dinners and travels and you're hungover or whatever. Mm-hmm. It would be really nice to like have someone that would be available to take care of the horse in a flexible way. Yeah. So I remember just walking past the fields of horses and I was just so sure that some of these horses have owners that are really stressed out today and I really want to ride. So I was just like, there's an app for everything these days. Like, why can't I just put up my phone and see which of these horses are available? Or maybe there is some classes this afternoon that have like available spots or something. Why is this so hard to figure out? So that was it. So I basically just went home and I drew up a business plan like I always do and put it in the door with the other horsey business plans. I didn't really think that much more about it until, of course, I started on my master's and I got like more into the startup community. And a lot of people, they were just like, Mona, when are you going to do your startup and so on? Because then I worked as a marketer for an offshore startup, actually. And I was just like, no, I want to do this like the right way. I want to have like work experience and savings and be like in a really safe place in my life before I do this kind of thing.
That's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing, Muna. You know, from my experience, a good business idea typically comes from a personal pain. Kind of like that sunny day when you were out walking, looking to ride, but none were available. You also mentioned that you believe horses should become more available to everyone. Could you tell us more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So, well, horse people have like always done this, but there is a lot of research going on regarding horses and health. Both physical health and especially mental health, because the horses, they mirror you in a really unique way. So the horse that I talked about, Victoria, she was a really special horse and she really demonstrated this fact in a really good way. So if I came to the stables and I was like stressed out or annoyed or just like had bad energy, she would literally run away from me. When I came to the fence, she would run. She was just like, no, no, you have bad energy. I don't want anything to do with you. And of course, she was an especially sensitive horse. She was like rescue and yeah. But anyways, if I came to the stable with good energy and with like a calm and like open energy, she would just like run to the fence like a dog. She would just like gallop to the fence and whinny and just be so happy to see me. So, of course, horses are very different individuals, but all of them in some way, they really do this like mirroring act. So you have to really check in on like the vibes you're giving out. And also, like I've been involved with equine therapy, like from the management side. But anyways, I've seen a lot of how people with different struggles really can grow and connect with the horses, because the horses, they don't care like who you are or who your parents are or if you're a previous drug addict or if you're in prison, or it doesn't matter. They just see you for who you are in that moment and what energy you're giving out. Nothing else matters. So yeah, that's a really, really special thing that has, yeah, really, really therapeutic abilities. And also, like I mentioned earlier, like how horses actually helped me to face these challenges as an entrepreneur. There's a lot of research actually going on that field too, that horses are actually shaping the leaders of tomorrow, and especially in young girls. They really can get that confidence and that courage. Like, yeah, for me, like I started at like 5-6 years old controlling big animals and several hundred kilos.
Right.
That's a really special thing. Like, and also the responsibility, like you can't just, I can't just say that, no, I'm tired today, I don't want to go to the stables, because yeah, you don't really have a choice. And I had that responsibility, yeah, at least from the time I was 10, when I actually had my own horse and I had to take the bus for like hours a day and every day after school, taking care of the horse, making sure it was okay, following up, doing the training, doing all of the work in the stables and so on. So I think that's a really, really valuable lesson for both young and adults.
I don't know about you guys, but like just hearing your story, Muna, I would love to check this out. For somebody or the listeners out there who don't have horses, where should they go to either find you or find places or a stable that they could, you know, ride a horse at right now?
Okay, so you can go to equiconnector.no to find different equestrian centers, and you can book all of the riding lessons. We are also on social media, so feel free to follow us there. We also recently launched rideleirer.no, which is a set of like summer camps and activities, like typically like week-long rides in the mountains and shorter rides also if you're not quite there. So I would definitely hope that you check it out, because everything there is supposed to be really easy. Like, you don't have to call a lot of equestrian centers, they can all accommodate beginners. They have, and we also, of course, we check all of the equestrian centers, so we know that the offerings on our platform are actually with qualified personnel, the horses are doing really well, they are being taken good care of, and so on. So it's a safe place to go.
Beautiful. I really think this is an all-in-one solution and win-win for everybody. I'm thinking about people who are horse owners, like you were saying, they're probably just having empty stall or empty stable there, right? I think that's going to benefit them. It's going to benefit the horses. They're going to be less alone. It's going to benefit the people. And like you were saying with mental health, I really am down to check it out. But I'm pretty sure we will include some of the information about EquiConnector and the website you talk about in the description.
Yeah, that's great. And also for you guys at UU, we have actually quite a lot of offerings in Oslo, where there's like a lot of drop-in lessons and a lot of great great lessons for beginners that you can just like go one time, or you can go like as often as you would like. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Hey, students, that's a very generous offer by EquiConnector. Better jump on it. Thanks, Muna, for sharing your inspiring story and the journey of starting EquiConnector. Now I hope to dive a little deeper into business development. But before we do so, I hope to quickly share a story of a long-term friend of mine, Jessica. We used to be neighbors at the university. She is a civil engineer and was in construction for many years, managing different projects. And one day she calls me up and says, "Hey, Reno, you're in business, right?" "Yeah, I'm in tech sales." And she goes, "Well, someone walks up to me today and says, 'Hey, Jessica, you should be in business development,' with a little sassy voice." And then I ask her, "What does that actually mean in your industry?" I have no clue, but I'm flattered anyways. So for our listeners out there, what is business development?
Yeah. Okay, so business development is finding strategic opportunities to develop your business, like like the word says. So I think for me, one of the most important parts of business development is partnerships, actually, because that's it's like a growth hack, because you can do so much together. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you're going to do something. You can access new markets, you can try out new products and so on. You can split the risk and so on. So I think partnerships is probably the most important part of business development. At least it has been for us. But of course, we also have a business model that are based on partnering up with equestrian centers.
So it sounds like business development is different from industry to industry. Tech companies will probably have different BD strategies compared to healthcare. Do you, Muna, have an example that you could share with our listeners in your equine industry?
Yeah, sure. So, for example, one of our partners is rideferie.no. They are specializing in riding vacations abroad. And for us, like we have Norwegian equestrian centers, of course. And now because of COVID, it's not like really that much traffic out of the country anyways. But before that, it was just a really win-win opportunity for both of us because we were able to give the visitors to our page a lot more possibilities, both within Norway and outside of Norway. And of course, for Rideferie, they will also get another channel to promote their offerings. So we could also go to, I was supposed to be in Portugal when Corona broke out. I had packed my suitcase and everything and just had to unpack. Because I was going to be visiting one of the equestrian centers that was in this partnership with Rideferie.no. And of course, when you're working with equestrian centers abroad and have really like specific standards for horse welfare and so on, it's really good to have partners and have people that you trust that you could like send out to these equestrian centers and check out everything and get to know the people there and so on. So yeah. And actually, that equestrian center is really, really beautiful. And they have amazing horses. And this summer, we're actually doing a competition where if you actually get on a horse through Equibooker or Rideferie, you can actually win a holiday on this beautiful equestrian center in Portugal, all expenses paid. So
nice.
If you want a really, really beautiful vacation and you want to try out riding, I would definitely suggest that you check out that competition this summer. You can find it on all of our social channels.
Yeah, super. That's super cool. I think I'm probably gonna join that and go to Portugal. But I just have a question for you because business development is like super new to me and I joined Inch like in February. So I just wanted to know like, what is kind of like the timeline? Where do you begin and how do you kind of set up the plan? Because you mentioned a plan, but what specifically is in that plan and how do you set it up?
Do you mean like from the very start of a business?
Yeah, so if you have an idea, how do you kind of develop your business from that idea?
There is many ways to do it, of course, and also I do a lot of mentoring for equestrian businesses on this specific subject. So what we usually do then is I have a talk with them and they say like, okay, I have this idea, and it's typically it's kind of like floating. So first of all, we're trying to make it more specific, like okay. And of course, that is just a start because you have one idea and you have one plan and it probably will end up something else. But anyways, we're trying to like, okay, why is this idea different from what other people are doing? How are you going to make this sustainable? How are you going to make money on this? And then we start to analyze the market and we try to do that really, really early on. Because especially with grant applications that we do a lot of and we get a lot of questions from equestrian centers regarding grant applications. And we see that it usually comes down to the market. Like you can't do the same thing that your neighbor do and expect to get grants to actually follow through with that. So you have to really know your market, like, okay, what other equestrian businesses are in this region? What are they doing? What do the consumers want? What is lacking in the offerings of this area, and so on. So you have to like define the gaps and try to see, okay, how can we use our resources or find resources to make offerings that will actually like fill in these gaps in the market? Because then you will have a much better chance of getting grants and loans and so on. But also, obviously, it will be much easier to get customers, because then you're not necessarily in direct competition with your neighbors that have like the exact same lessons and so on. So yeah, so that's where we start. And then of course you need to have the resources in place. Like you have to have the right personnel, you have to have the right horses, the right location and so on. So we just try to identify like all of these things that needs to be in place in order to make it happen. And we also stress that no matter what you do, and that it doesn't matter what kind of industry you're in, always try to make an MVP first, like a minimum viable product. Try to like, yeah, make a proof of concept before you invest heavily in something. So, and that sounds very basic, but there's a lot of people, and we've done it a couple of times ourselves too, that like spend way too much resources on something before you actually test it out. And then it comes to the market and it was just like, nah, it wasn't quite actually what the market wanted. So just try to make it simple first.
Yeah.
And try to like loan resources, try to like loan a horse, see, okay, is this whatever offering you're signing up, is this something that people are actually willing to pay for, and so on.
Yeah, proof of concept. That's actually a very smart strategy. You know, at Inch, we hear good ideas from passionate founders like yourself, Muna, all the time. But as you say, sometimes it's not enough. We have to understand how the market feels about the idea. And testing is an effective way to find out. So thank you. That's very, very insightful. One last question regarding business development. If someone is interested in BD, where would you recommend them to start?
Yeah. So, of course, there's many ways to go about this. And I know a lot of people say this, like, just do it, go to an incubator, just establish a company and so on. But I actually did a talk on this on Gründerruka. It was like this entrepreneurship week in the South. And I was invited to the university to talk to students about like exactly this. Okay, you have an idea, what should you do? And usually at this kind of events, there's a lot of like, just follow your dream, just do it, and so on.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to be honest. And I don't know how people will react to this, but I was brutally honest. And I just laid it all out there. Like, it's not as easy as just do it. And there is so many things that you could do before you like jump into it and risk all of your savings and your sleep and everything, because it's going to be intense. And yeah, I can go into the specifics of that, of course. But the conclusion was that I've never gotten that much positive feedback after a talk, because people would just like, well, thank you for like being honest. And because when you just jump into it, like a lot of startups fail, obviously. And I think there is maybe too much of that in like the startup community, that like, just do it, it's going to be fine, we need more entrepreneurs and so on. But it's okay to wait for a bit and actually prepare, so you have the best chances of succeeding.
Oh, absolutely, Muna. I 100% agree. I appreciate you being genuine and straightforward about your advice. And I can't stress this enough. Nowadays, there's just so much content out there. You know, run a good company, have a healthier life, hire good people. Great. How do we do that? So thank you again for your step-by-step insights on business development. Any last thoughts about starting your own business to our listeners, Muna?
When you're starting a business, it will be a really steep learning curve, but you can make it a lot easier on yourself because you, in the end, you need to have a life as well. Because like I did, I worked two jobs. I did my master's full time. And of course, I was riding horses and I was starting a business. And that was just like, I would never do that again. I had no life. I had like, yeah, family, friends, all that stuff. You can basically just forget it. Sleep, forget it. You can just forget anything. I was like, you will be a slave to your company and to your own life. So, of course, that most intense period was like that 6 months where I actually wrote my master thesis and, of course, got this research council grant and so on. That was a big process and everything. So, yeah, if you want to be a human in all of this, then it's okay to plan and do some preparations, get some savings, get some experience. Yeah, keep yourself as a human being in the middle of all of it, because your company will need you if you're too tired, or if you use all of your energy in the first year, then your startup will have a problem.
All right, folks. Thanks for listening to another episode of How to Entrepreneur. If you have a passion for horses and wish to start a business, reaching out to Munna from EquiConnector is a wonderful place to start. They are the experts in the field and offer an all-in-one solution, advice from marketing to monetization. Thank you so much, Munna, for your time.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We will see you at the next episode about company operation, where we will talk to CEO and co-founder of Kindly, Arash Saidi. If you like How to Entrepreneur, follow us at Inch.io on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you live in Bergen, follow us at Inch Bergen. See you next time.